Chaz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. The U.S. Surgeon General had a grim message for us this weekend.
It's tragically fitting that we're talking at the beginning of Holy Week, because this is going to be the hardest and the saddest week of most Americans' lives, quite frankly. This is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment, our 9/11 moment, only it's not going to be localized. It's going to be happening all over the country, and I want America to understand that.
Dr. Ron Clark is on. He's Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine at the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I think that this is going to be a tough week. You know, we're in the thick of it right now, guys. I've been doing this daily. It's getting pretty tough.
What's the status? Do you still have beds? Do you have any vents, PPE?
We still have beds. Our beds are running very low, though. Our ICU is full. The supplies are running out. We're trying to get more as well. Interestingly, some of the things that I never even noticed before in the ER, like certain cleaning swabs that we have in packages so you can clean equipment, those are basically disappeared from all the walls. They used to just be stacked up all over the place, and there's none. We have to search around. When I come out of the room from a COVID patient, there's a certain order that I need to do things. I need to take off my gown. After I do that, I need to take off my gloves. I got to wash my hands. Then I got to basically put gloves back on, wash my facial shield with a certain swab, take my gloves back off again, wash my hands again, put my gloves back on, take off my outer mask, take off an inner mask called an N95 mask, and all those supplies are really dwindling now.
So you have to do that in between each patient?
Each patient.
Wow.
It's basically a living nightmare is what we're doing. And again, I've gotten patients every day that have COVID. I've had some very sick patients come in, unresponsive, people who it's a nightmare situation in the sense you have no idea who has it when you're working in the ER now. Someone comes in, I had a person last week who was unresponsive, ended up being positive. Luckily, I put on all the gear before I went in there, because, again, you got to think that everybody comes in may have it. You know, people may have the respiratory symptoms. Some people may have abdominal pain, diarrhea, fever, all different symptoms. But now we're at the point now in the ER that the ER is
assuming that everyone has it.
Everybody has it.
Yeah.
When you get admitted, most people are getting screened for it because you don't want to send the person up to the floor and then find out later that they're COVID and they just wiped out a whole floor upstairs.
If you go from one room, let's just say the rooms are right next to each other.
Yep.
You're going from a coronavirus patient to another known coronavirus patient.
Yep.
Do you do all that strip down cleaning?
Every time.
Really?
Chest. It takes me 10 times as long to do anything because of all these different procedures that we have. It's really affecting the flow of the ER.
What is the danger of you walking in with your stuff on after visiting a coronavirus patient to go in to see another one?
So every time you go in, there's a repetitivity of exposure that comes up, and you know it increases the risk of healthcare providers every time you're in a room with these people. Again, I put on the gear every time. I do it the same way every time, the way we're trained to do it.
Good.
Do the right thing. It doesn't completely eliminate my risk. It certainly mitigates it to a certain extent. But it's just a surreal experience right now. I mean, I walk into the hospital. They take my temperature to walk in the door. I mean, I can't, they ask me all kinds of screening questions. That's just for me to get in the door to the hospital to work, to see people. You have to wear a mask around all the time now. So even when I'm, like, between rooms to go upstairs to the cafeteria, wherever I'm going, you're walking around with masks. I mean, it's just, it really is a surreal experience.
I feel like, as a country, we're late to the party with the masks.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think they held back on saying that, it would be helpful because they didn't want you guys on the front lines to not be able to get masks.
Yeah, you need them.
Kind of important. That's true. We need the supplies. And luckily, we do have most of the supplies, but they are low. Like, I mean, just different things, facial shields, gloves, gowns. These are things that used to just be, we have.
You just take it for granted. It was everywhere.
Yeah, you just walk by and you just see the gowns there. I use them like once in a blue moon for, certain procedures that I'm doing. Now they're all gone. Like there's none left. We'll go up to the floor and try to get supplies from the floor if they have some things that we ran out of. in the ER, and it's very tough to do this day in and day out every day for the last couple of weeks, where you walk in, you have all that risk, you have people that are dying, you have people that come in unresponsive, you have people that are fine 1 minute, and then you hear once they're admitted on the floor that they crashed and went unresponsive and get intubated and end up in the unit. I mean, this virus is affecting everybody a little differently, as far as, you know, some people don't have any symptoms to death on the other end of the spectrum, and there's everything right in between.
And then there's fast. Like a friend of mine had a friend who Saturday felt like crap, Sunday went to the hospital, Monday was dead. It was
exactly
that's
the way this virus works for some people.
The country is saying, the White House and the United States Surgeon General, that this is going to be the worst week for death. Is that because they're looking at numbers of people who are on vents, not coming off the vents, probably not going to make it in the next couple of days?
That's part of it, Chaz. I mean, and then the other part of it is that wave's still getting a little bit bigger this week, and then that they think they're hoping it's going to kind of crest this week and start coming down on the other side. You know, they may be right, they may be wrong. I hope they're right in the sense that at least we can get a peak and then try to get to the other side of the wave.
Yeah. New York and Italy showed some signs of going down. Less deaths in New York and Italy the same, and less new patients. So fingers crossed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who do you want to come into the emergency room? Is it still the same? If not just showing signs, but if you feel like you can't breathe, that was
exactly.
Okay.
Yep. The people with respiratory distress, they can't breathe, feel dizzy, chest pain, feel like you want to pass out. Those people need to come to the ER. The walking wounded really need to stay away. And, you know, I hate saying that, you know, at this point in time, with the risk being so high to all the people, the patients in the ER, the patients in the waiting room, the healthcare staff, if you're not sick, it's really a bad idea to come to the emergency room right now.
And would you say, Doc, that it's mostly coronavirus patients or people who want to be tested coming through the door?
The majority of patients that are coming through are coronavirus-related. Again, we're still going to get our appendicitis and our chest pains and our congestive heart failure and strokes and those kinds of things as well. But for the vast majority, I mean, the volume is very low right now, which is good in the ER, in the sense that, you know, people aren't coming in and exposing themselves to any risk that's in the ER from coronavirus. And it can allow the healthcare providers to attend to the sicker patients. Again, it's a lot of work for each one of these COVID patients, and you know it's just very stressful. The whole thing. I mean, I feel like it's just a recurring nightmare. I basically work, I sleep, I eat, I go back to work, but each day it's the same exact thing right now.
Right. Yeah, think about it. Some people have a bad day or busy day at work, or there's an occurrence, and now all heck's breaking loose. But then it clears. This is every single day. And if you look at the charts of what Connecticut is predicting, we're not there yet.
No. We have about 189 deaths right now. I think there's like a little over 5,600 cases in Connecticut. Remember, when I was talking to you the first time of this, we had no cases. Then we had one. Then we had five. Then we had 10.
Right.
I mean, it just keeps going up. But hopefully, you know, that wave, you know, goes through. And once it does, we can get to the other side and get through this.
There was a story out of Waterbury where they weren't giving nurses tests. Did you see that?
I did. I saw that. And the testing situation is in flux, I'll just say. You know, different people get tests for different reasons. Obviously, the people who get admitted in the hospital, definitely going to get a test. They need the test so that the staff knows if they need to continue the precautions or not. For everybody else, particularly the walking wounded or walking well, those people need to probably just stay home, not be tested. The ones in between, it's a judgment call. A lot of that's employee health and different hospitals that determine like who gets tested and who don't. At a certain point, I think none of the outpatient people will end up being tested anymore, just because at that point in time, you just assume that all those people have it.
Right.
And again, if you're for the vast majority of people that get coronavirus, you're going to get better, you're going to recover, you're going to feel sick, but you know things will get better. It's been sad for me to see couples come in. I don't want to get too specific with details, but it's sad.
There was a story last week the governor announced we had the youngest patient die from coronavirus. It was a 6-week-old baby. And then there was talk this weekend that the baby didn't actually die of coronavirus, died of some other cause, and then was tested and tested positive for coronavirus.
Right.
Had you heard about that?
I heard about that case. You know, anytime it's a baby that young, you always think of, SIDS and the sudden infant death syndrome and those kinds of things as well. But, I don't think anybody will ever know, exactly if the baby did test positive, but or if it was just another cause as well. You never find out.
Right.
But eventually there'll be a day where I don't need to wear the mask into work, and there'll be a day where my staff's faces aren't marked up and that we have all the supplies. And
we could talk about remember when.
Right.
Exactly.
We can't thank you and your staff and all the frontline workers enough, really. Yeah. There's no words.
You're welcome.
So thank you, Doc.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys. All have right. a great day.
Talk you soon. Too. Be careful. Safe, brother. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. Did anybody see the Queen speaking?
I didn't see her. I heard a clip of her, yes.
Yeah.
I told him to stay away from her.
It was funny because over the weekend, I was thinking about her and Willie Nelson. I don't know why. Not that they would ever be together.
They should do a duet.
That would be amazing.
On 420.
Right. Right. It would be amazing.
On the road again.
But these people, Willie Nelson and the Queen and the people who are really elderly. The Queen's in her 90s. Right. Willie Nelson's close.
Yep.
And this thing could take him out in 5 seconds. This would be one of those, I had a sneeze and then I was dead.
This
isn't a long, you go in and there's, let's see if we could just put you on oxygen. And then like a week later, maybe we put you on the ventilator. And then, let's go a couple weeks after that. Then maybe we can get you off the ventilator. No. You sneeze and you die.
Although Willie's lungs are so tempered in pot. So
the very first story I heard about the Queen was they got her out of Buckingham Palace and they put her some, isolation, probably some room with it's just a big bubble with
gold plated bubble.
get her the Buckingham
breathing
out of
machines,
here.
All kinds of filters, you know. But I thought, even with that, right? So let's say you're Willie Nelson or the Queen of England.
Okay.
And you have people who are going to, you don't have to go to the supermarket. You don't have to go to get takeout.
No, you don't.
You have all
these. I would like
some
chicken wings.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. Hey. There it is.
Yeah,
right.
Boom.
I want a Pepe's Pizza from New Haven. Hey. Okay. Airplane fires up.
Right. Concord shows up. Gary hands to him. Off you go. Yeah.
Even with all of that, you have a staff around you.
Yes.
And that staff around you, or one person or whatever it is, they're coming in contact with people.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Right?
Right.
So now the Queen is probably a different level. So
yeah.
There's an army of people when the groceries come in. Their job is to wipe this down. They're all in mass. Yeah.
And then they're killed.
I don't know. Is that how it is?
And then she kills them. Yes. Have that man beheaded.
But when I saw she's back at Buckingham Palace, and at least one guy had to set the camera up, right? And the teleprompter.
Yeah, she's not good at that stuff.
I thought, I don't know. You couldn't do it from phone, Right? FaceTime?
Right. I don't know how this works.
Even if she did FaceTime,
someone would have to go and show her. All right, so you press this.
Where's my nephew? He left. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems...
Harry!
That wouldn't be nephew. That'd be our grandchild.
Where the hell he is? A little bastard left anyway.
I don't know. I worry about those elderly people.
Oh.
No one thought of Willie Nelson this weekend?
No.
He canceled his tour because he was ill. This is a guy who, if he gets it, he's not coming back.
Right.
Those lungs have not seen a day of oxygen, maybe ever.
Yeah, right. Heavy smoker, smokes weed.
Through a bong.
He was sick on the tour. He had to cancel the tour. Like, this guy is one little floaty droplet away from death.
Yeah, but he's too stoned to care.
I think that that's when America's going to be like, oh, what the hell?
Right.
This is taking out famous people with medical people and staffs and stuff.
That stuff, yes.
Anyway, so the Queen spoke. She did like a 4.5-minute deal. And here's like 30 seconds of it.
I'm speaking to you at what I know is an increasingly challenging time. I want to thank everyone on the NHS frontline, as well as care workers and those carrying out essential roles, who selflessly continue their day-to-day duties. Together, we are tackling this disease.
Anybody,
and I want to...
Hold it. Anyone hear the word duties?
Duties.
The queen goes duty, too.
Duty, duty.
Even if you're the queen, exactly. You gotta go duty.
And heavy duty. Royal
it
duty.
It sounds so
duties.
Proper when
it's
she says
royal
it.
Duty.
Yes.
I did my royal duties.
I did.
Yeah, no kidding, queen. I'm trying to clean up in there.
I'm now wiping my ass on the red carpet.
Duties.
Duty.
She can make anything sound classic.
She has a throne.
Yes.
Duties.
Yes.
Can someone get the queen to read, like, read through a script from an Andrew Dice Clay show?
Nice.
Hickory Dickory Dock. Right.
Duties.
Duty.
Duties. Okay, let's hear the rest.
Together we are tackling this disease, and I want to reassure you.
When's the last time you think the queen physically tackled anything?
Maybe one of the corgis?
I'm thinking one of her cheeseburgers.
Just wondering.
That if we remain united and resolute, then we will overcome it. We will succeed, and that success will belong to every one of us.
That's not even the best clip.
No.
She said some stuff that was cool. First of all, her very first radio address was in 1940 when she was a child,
right,
and her family was separated. So she was speaking on the radio to other kids who had been separated from their families.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? During World War II, you're a kid on the radio talking to other kids like you're separated from your parents. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
1940. Since then, she's only done 7 of these.
Wow.
This is one of them.
Like Boston with their albums.
Yeah. there's this long gap. But this one was great.
I want you to cool the engines.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Let's start with Jim from Southbury. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
Morning,
good morning. So what are you doing?
So I heard your guys' story on Friday, just in regards to some of the senior citizens that were having trouble at the grocery store. And,
the guy with two canes.
Yeah.
Who had to struggle to get into the store.
Yep.
And there was no toilet paper. And he asked the cashier, "What? I don't have any toilet paper. What can I do?" And she couldn't help him. I thought about that guy all weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you guys, it really kind of hit home. And, you know, I live in the local area. I don't have social media or anything like that. And I know, you know, some senior citizens also do not. And so I figured it, you know, it would probably be beneficial if, you know, somebody could say something on the air in regards to being able to give a helping hand for those who don't have the internet.
So what are you willing to do? What are you going to do?
So, you know, Southbury, all the surrounding areas, I'm still working at this point, thank goodness. I'm in construction, but, anytime after, you know, 3:30 in the afternoon and all weekend long, I'd be willing to go grab groceries for anybody in need. You know, mothers that have two or three kids at home, all the senior citizens. You know, I have no issue doing that.
This is the week they're saying if you can avoid the store, avoid the store.
Yeah.
So you're willing to do that for people. That's great.
Yeah, like I said, I just, you know, as, you know, not in the risk group, I feel like that's what I'm able to do. And, you know, if I can help protect 20 people just by doing it, that's worth its weight for me.
So what would that be? Southbury, Oxford, Woodbury?
Middlebury, Bridgewater, Newtown, you know, Monroe, you know, as long as, you know. So, you know, any of the surrounding areas, I think, you know, it's just, you know, that's kind of my duty as a citizen.
You're not going to pay for the groceries, but you'll go to the store with the list,
right? Say, okay.
Do the shopping, bring it back, drop it off at the door.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. And we could trust you. I mean, you're not going to take someone's money and then not go shopping.
No, I'll go buy the groceries first, and they can just give me the money when I get there.
There you go. See? You have a bill.
Awesome.
Yeah, here's your receipt.
Wow.
Yep. You owe me $87.
Who does this? You know, this is great.
Yeah. Jim, amazing people.
Yeah, Jim does.
These are the stories. When I hear, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
There are people like
Jim.
If
you guys could put
people like Ron Clark
online, I'd love it.
All right, so we're going to post your personal cell phone. You sure you want that?
That's good to go.
Okay. Now we want you to check in with us on a regular basis and let us know how it's going and tell us these stories. We want to know these people that you're helping.
Yeah, I also found that you know, I don't know what other towns are doing it, but you can volunteer on the a lot of the senior citizen. centers in certain towns are accepting volunteers. You'd fill out your information, and they will also contact you.
Okay. And do you have gloves or a mask or that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I got gloves. I got masks. You know, I'm well prepared, and I'm not trying to. I got you know, a young child at home. I'm not trying to bring anything home as well. But I feel like it's my, I can help. So,
How old are you, and do you have any underlying medical conditions, breathing?
I am healthy as an ox, and I'm in my early 30s.
You're the best.
You're the best. There you go. See?
Jim from Southbury. I love this guy.
Yep.
All right. Your cell phone is 203-491. May I give it out on the air?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. 203-491-8509. 203-491-8509. Ashley's going to put it up on our websites. But also, if you're listening and you know someone, spread the word. Because like Jim was saying,
absolutely,
not a lot of elderly people have the internet.
Exactly.
Go clicking around rock station websites.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the thought
and
of that guy making his way all the way to the market, not one cane, two canes, and then onto a motorized cart, goes into the store, there's no toilet paper, and then basically begs at the cashier, like, I don't have any toilet paper.
I would search for the toilet paper for him. I would go to 10 stores. That's unacceptable for me.
Yeah.
And just so, I also thought about it real quick. You know, auto stores have glass cleaner, some sorts of paper towels, hand soap, stuff like that. So, I think that's another outlet for, some people if they're really searching for stuff,
Right. That's a good idea.
Need lava soap. No, ouch.
And I don't think people think about the pharmacy either for paper products. I don't know how they're doing over there. But anyway, Jim, thank you. Keep us posted, okay?
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
We appreciate you.
Right.
Right now, we're going to talk to someone that I've been trying to talk to since, late March. See that story? I don't know if you saw it, AJ. There was a couple personally purchasing hundreds of thousands of masks for first responders. And I happened to know the couple, and I asked the guy late March to come on the show.
Right.
And he said, doesn't feel right.
See?
Mm-hmm. It won't feel right.
Yeah,
I don't want it to be like, look at me and what I'm doing.
I'm just
doing it to do it.
Yeah, that's a true person
right
there.
I don't want to come on.
Yeah.
Well, he's been outed, and then he, since then, has put together an organization or teamed with an organization so everyone can help continue this.
Nice.
And he's on the phone right now. It's Bob Stefanowski.
Hello. I knew.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Hey.
Bob.
We appreciate citizens like you doing the right thing, and
yep,
we appreciate the fact that you didn't want to come on and take credit.
Well, I didn't want to make this a partisan thing, and I tell you, the demand for these masks, these are the surgical masks, and we initially thought the demand would be mostly hospitals, but it's amazing. You go to police stations, you go to nursing homes where they don't have of these nursing homes. They have people infected by the virus, but the nurses there don't have any mask whatsoever. And
that's incredible.
Everybody knows somebody's been impacted by this. It's just incredible.
Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
Did you, we need to just take that in for a second. There's nursing homes with infected patients, and the nurses don't have masks.
Right. This is how it spreads.
Okay.
I got a call from the head of the federal marshal of Connecticut. They transport prisoners around, and they got a prisoner in the back seat. There's no mask. So some of the hospitals are reusing the masks. They're supposed to be disposable. They're putting their name on them, putting them in a plastic bag at the end of the night, and then reusing them the next day.
Wow.
I don't think we've ever done anything as rewarding as this. I mean, some of these people, Chaz, when they pick them up, they're literally crying, saying, I can't believe you have masks. So this week we're focused on blowing it out, and we got to get more of these out there.
How did it start?
Well, I was calling around last weekend because I'd heard about this PPE crisis, personal protective equipment, and I was calling some people that I knew, and I found a guy down in New Jersey, and I said, send me a picture of the mask. And if you remember, I called you and Jen, because Jen's a nurse at Yale. I said, are these the real deal? And you guys said yes. So Pat Sasser and I from NoTollCT.org.
No, just for the record, I said, I don't know. And then I handed the phone, yeah. I handed the phone
you were
to
like,
Jennifer.
From this, Bob. Yeah. And, go watch TV.
Yeah, and then Jennifer looked at the mask and had a nice conversation with Bob. Okay, go ahead.
So Sasser and I jumped in his pickup truck. We rented a trailer from you all. We went down there. I got a cashier's check. We picked up 110,000 of them. We drove back. We gave him to the hospital. Sasser's with the fire department up there. And make a long story short, we burned through the whole 110,000 on the first day.
Damn.
So we went back
Bob
the
left
second
out a
day.
Part
we bought
of
another 175,000, and we burned through that.
You left out a part of this is the check that you wrote out for those. Big one.
Really?
Big.
Really big?
Well, figure
yeah, no,
110.
Fine, but
we're not going to go into the amount, but figure 110. 1,000 masks.
Right, that's a lot of money.
If they're 50 or 75 cents each, do the math on that.
Yeah.
Okay? That
I
was a personal
yeah.
check that this man wrote out but still wouldn't come on the show.
No, it's fine. And,
and he's been in touch with the governor
right.
to give them this number. It wasn't about like, hey, I'm going to do this. This is my thing.
Yeah, no, no, no.
He was like, I want to help
for the right
state.
Reasons.
Let's
yeah.
do it. Let's do it.
For the right reasons.
For
yes.
all the right reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. So since that first load of 110,000 masks, how many have you purchased?
You know, it's somewhere between 400,000 and 500,000. We're getting close to 500,000. We've been to 128 towns. We've gone to 250 locations. We've got 68 volunteers. Your buddy George Colley has been a warrior.
He's great.
Been all over the state.
He's
really
cool, yeah.
great. So what can we do now to help? I'm guessing you can't just you can't. Just keep writing out checks.
Well, I think there's two things. I think a lot of people are, you know, and I know everybody's tight on money, but these masks are 75 cents a piece, and obviously we're giving them away at our cost. We've got a website up. We've teamed up with a great group of people called the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven, and the website is maskforheroesct.org. So masks, plural, maskforheroesct.org. We've already got a big donation from Webster Bank. We got a big donation from the NFL Retired Players Association.
Wow.
This crisis is getting worse because it hasn't peaked. And the hospitals have some masks, but I can tell you guys, the first responders, the police, even driving up to a Dunkin' Donuts window, I mean, those people want masks. So even if you could afford one or two masks, you're helping people.
Masks and, for heroes, what?
Masks.
Yep.
Plural, Mass for Heroes, CT.
CT.
.org.
Right.
The site's up and running.
Okay. Very good. All right. Keep us posted on this one. So you're selling the masks to them at cost or giving the masks?
No. We're any donation goes directly to the people out there at our cost.
So you buy the masks and then you, with that money, and then you give them the masks. You're donating
We distribute them across the state, yeah,
right.
to people that need them.
Yeah, but you're donating them to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
Right. So the money we raise into that fund will go 100% towards purchasing masks to deliver to people in the state of Connecticut.
I see what you're saying. So 75 cents is your cost for the mask because you're buying in bulk. And if
yes.
someone goes online and donates 75 cents, that's going to buy a mask.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. All right, Bob. Nice work, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we'll be
out,
in touch
everyone.
Soon.
This is a terrific cause.
Bob Stefanowski. And a shout out to Amy, too.
Oh, boy. It's time for Dumbass News.
Okay.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews at chazandajinthemorning.com. Coronavirus drive-through testing scam.
Aha!
Uh-oh.
There's always someone who's got to pull this.
Always someone.
Officials in West Louisville, Kentucky.
How you doing?
Shut down a drive-through test center last week, said it was a scam.
It was in the parking lot of an Arby's.
The people running it were charging $250 to get tested.
Well, they was paying it, so we was taking it. Cash on the place.
It's not clear if the tests were even real.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, no, we put it in a beaker and everything and some Gatorade.
As soon as people started asking questions, they packed up and left.
Yep, gotta go now. Nothing to see here, people. Puppet shows, lobster for the kids, the whole nine yards.
We'll be in another town in about now.
We'll be down at the McDonald's park lot in about 15 minutes.
and they said the whole thing was HIPAA compliant.
Whoops. Well, I broke a HIPAA once.
Which stands for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act.
Well, I just said HIPAA. Sorry, I meant wife.
And what is this audio? Is this audio of someone there
with their cell phone
and there's an interaction between the scammers and the customers?
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'm helping out as a consultant, making sure everything is being done properly. Yes or no, patients have rights. Patients also have a thing called HIPAA, where we shouldn't be putting them on camera, we should be protecting them. You're violating that.
First of all, no big deal. You spell HIPAA wrong. You spell it H-I-P-P-A. It's H-I-P-A-A.
Y'all ain't even qualified to do testing here. Yeah, that's what I thought. Y'all ain't got no answers.
Where are you from, ma'am? Kentucky. Whereabouts in Kentucky?
Your mama's house. I got you.
Go on and pack it up and leave.
Hold it. Did the guy say where you from?
Your mama's house.
Right. That there is a doctor term.
Where's your lab?
My mama's house. Yeah, next to the meth lab.
And so your mama joke.
Your mama. Your mama's so ugly.
Wow.
He had a HIPAA.
I can't believe there are people that would take advantage of everything right now.
I can believe it, but I wonder, you know, so you have an idea session, right?
Yeah.
All right, how are we going to rip people? Here's an opportunity. It's a world pandemic. People are dying. How are we going to make some money off of this?
I got a camping tent over here. We'll just spray it white.
Is there a video of this? Because I'm curious to see.
I need to know what the setup
what they look like.
Right. What did it look like?
I'll have to look into it.
Was the sign like handwritten and HIPAA was spelt wrong?
Right. It's written in crayon.
The problem is they had two big idea people. They didn't have a details person.
Right. Yeah.
They needed a details person, like how to properly spell HIPAA.
Anybody
got a computer? Let's look this up.
Plus, any place is taking money right there for the test.
I haven't heard anything about anybody having to pay for a test at all anyway.
Exactly.
So that would be the first thing.
You would get billed. You'll give me money right there. At $250 on the barrel.
Yeah, $250 cash.
Exactly, please. Right.
We're just taking cash.
It can be ones, it can be fives.
But wait, I heard money was dirty and we're not.
Right.
No, we're clean.
Cash. No. Yeah. We're trying to get the dirty money out of circulation.
Yeah, we're loaning money.
The last lady in this clip, though, should run for mayor of this town. Listen to her.
Go on and pack it up and leave, because every time we see you around here, we're going to chase you out.
Okay. We're going to chase you out. I got the truck running every
That's
day.
Right.
I love her.
That's you get in trouble with one of your friends, and the mother comes out on the porch and says, don't you ever come back around here. I don't want you anywhere near my boy.
She's mad.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We were just telling you about cards for caregivers, and I know what it sounds like. Oh, thank you. No, it's not thank you cards.
Nope.
They're dinner, they're restaurant cards.
It's a better way
gift
to
thank cards for caregivers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that what it's called?
No, but maybe it should be.
Just
no, cards for
clarifying.
Caregivers has a ring to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they are gift cards from restaurants to caregivers to thank them.
Exactly.
And help, right? Because you can't go, but there are things that they just don't have time for now
in
their lives because they're so busy at work.
Exactly. So.
And we see the news and we're like, what can we do to help? Well, this is what we can do to help. And you're helping the restaurants, and they're suffering, and you're helping the caregivers. And saying thank you at the same time.
Win-win.
So go to WPLR.com or 959thefox.com. Phil said it's very easy. In like a minute or two, he was able to donate $100.
See that?
And you could donate any amount. It doesn't have to be 100. It could be 10. It could be more. Whatever you'd like.
Exactly. Adds up.
All right. On the show right now, Dr. Cass Ingram, author of more than 20 books and so generally a smart guy.
Very.
What's a realistic timeline here? When do you think we could be back to normal? And I lost him.
Whoops.
Oh, no.
As he said, oh, no.
The phone line died of coronavirus.
Oh, God, no. See, I told you to wipe it down.
Phil's frantically calling him back.
Yes, he is. Although it's fun to watch Phil frantic sometimes, doesn't it?
You said, doesn't it?
I know. I'm aware.
That's karma.
That was kind of me back. I'm aware.
Sorry about that. We lost contact with you.
Yeah, how's it going, gentlemen and ladies and all that?
Good, thank you. You think we can expect it to be normal again? Will it ever be normal again?
Well, if the government and the presidency follows my advice, we could knock this down in 3 months. But I don't know. It could be 6 months of insanity. Look at countries like in Italy, Iran, and China. They're still kind of definitely dealing with it. Huh? And it's been 2 months into it now.
Are we doing a better job than them?
I hope.
Oh yeah, yeah. See, I know. Also, you know, the WHO has tested some of my work. They found it exactly as I said. But why aren't they telling anybody?
Why aren't they telling anybody?
Yeah, it's just, I guess it's natural medicine things. Like it's, did you know that the chloroquine is a natural medicine derivative? They're already looking at it. It's a bark.
I was just writing about that this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't, you know, take experts like myself, go in there. I'm working with some doctors in New York in the hot zone. I flew into Seattle and worked with some people there. Let's get the experts together and we can shut this dude down. I want to punch this virus in the nose. I'm not afraid of this.
See, there you go.
Yeah. This is the attitude I want.
Exactly.
I want you at those press conferences.
I want a gung-ho.
Hell yeah.
Exactly. Fire everybody up.
I mean, God forbid I was in that position. I would take anything.
That's why you're not.
Yeah. Now, listen, go to my website. It's non-commercial. Anything I talk about is not being sold there. So just information. But the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that there are some natural things that you can take that would prevent this. And we could be giving this on the front lines, and there are some things you can do that will just destroy the virus.
All right, let me ask it this way then. I'm a frontline worker, right? I work in healthcare. I'm working in a coronavirus ward. What would you suggest I do at home to help prevent getting it?
What you want to do is get your cinnamon out and take a teaspoon twice a day. You want to go buy some oil of wild oregano. And make sure it's the wild stuff, and take about 10 drops twice a day.
All right, hold on. What was the second thing? The wild what?
Oil of wild oregano.
Wild oregano. You know, we tested it. You go see my study on the website. We tested it. WHO has tested it. It dissolved the virus. Any virus.
This virus?
That's some wild oregano.
Well, this virus, according to my inside information, the WHO has been testing it against this virus, amongst other things. It was the one substance that worked. Wow. So it doesn't really matter what virus it is. I mean, the herpes genital virus is a tough one because that's so intracellular. But anything else is pretty easy for the spices. And, you know, think about it this way. It's a mechanism of action thing. These are caustic substances. I mean, they're not caustic to human cells, but they tend to dissolve. So if it's a bacteria, it dissolves the cell wall, it bursts. If it's a virus, it dissolves the capsid, it shatters. This is under electron microscopy that we've seen this. If it's a fungus, it kills the cell wall and it's dead. This is what our Creator made for us. You know, and I'm not going to preach at you, but there's this thing called the Old Testament, and in there it says you should clean yourself out with Aesop, hyssop. It means high mountain wild oregano, and they mistranslate it.
Huh. All right, so oil of wild oregano, teaspoon of cinnamon.
Teaspoon of cinnamon twice.
Yeah.
If you could get this stuff that I use this wild oregano spray. It's called Orega Spray, and I spray my face with it. I spray it into my eyes.
Wow. You smell like a salad.
Does it burn?
I love this guy.
Well, where do you find this stuff?
It burns good, though, huh?
Where do you find this stuff, though?
Like it's funny. Like, he's going to be the only one left on the planet.
Right.
It's these jerks didn't listen to me.
Sci-fi show, what's it called, that guy was on, and he was the only person left on the Earth, and he was cracking up. What was the name of that show?
Well, there was an episode of Twilight Zone where he had all the books,
right,
and he was going to read them, and then he broke his glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I feel like that guy.
Right.
Because, like, okay, so I'll go into your critical care center, and I'll help you guys if I have to ship it. But we could do a lot. You know, one hot zone by the other, one cluster by the other, with the natural medicines. There's nothing else. Why are you looking at quinine? Because it might have some efficacy. But if you go straight to the natural medicines, not a synthetic drug, you get better results.
Is this to prevent it?
Yeah, hold on. We got to wrap it up. But can we have you on tomorrow? I have a million questions.
I do too.
I didn't even get you. But he starts talking. I'm like, this is great information.
I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, let's talk. And I'll talk about the science. But go to my website. Send your listeners there for a preview. KazIngram.com, and study what I've got there. But it is. Oil of oregano is the answer. WHO knows this, and I treated the WHO physicians during the SARS epidemic. I sent them with my protocol. None of them got sick. They all know about
I have one more quick question. When you see the White House Coronavirus Task Force press conference, and there on the stage, 2 feet away from one another, is the president, the vice president, the two top scientists, and the top logistics military person. Do you get a little nervous that if one of them gets it, it could take out our whole top echelon?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
You saw what happened to Boris, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. That guy, if he goes to the hospital, that means they can't bring the stuff that he needs to his house because you know they were doing it from 10 Downey Street.
Yeah.
It means he's in trouble.
Yeah,
his health is not it's precarious.
I thought the same thing. Yeah.
All right. If one big dignitary falls dead, the whole world's going to go into a tailspin, I'm telling you.
Yeah. All right. Doc, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Cass Ingram. We're linked up at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com.
Jazz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. In a second, we're going to have the top person with the Small Business Association of all of New England on to answer any questions you have, kind of clear things up, run through where we are right now. So if you have any questions and you're a small business owner, please call 1-877-764-2535. First, let's check in with New Haven and Mayor Justin Elliker. How are things in your city, sir?
Good morning. How's everyone doing?
Hey,
good.
You?
Good. Hanging in there.
Good. Yeah, we're plugging away, too. We have 200, as of yesterday, we have 241 positive cases. We expect that there's a lot more out there that just haven't been identified. And we've had 9 fatalities so far, unfortunately. We're working hard to try to address a number of issues to get on top of this as quickly as possible. I've talked about our homeless population before as a major push. And we also secured some housing thanks to the University of New Haven. And a number of our public safety folks are actually staying in dorms at UNH because they want to make sure that they don't infect their families by going home, that sort of thing. So a lot of things going on.
Yale said they were going to step up, too. Have they done that yet?
So there's one public safety officer that tested positive for COVID-19 that's in their dorms. We had started rolling with a lot of the other plans that we were doing after it didn't work out the first time around with Yale. But we're grateful to have that opportunity, and we may take them up on it.
Hospital beds. Do you still have available hospital beds? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, so the Yale New Haven Hospital still has a number of hospital beds available, and they have some redundancy. So, we're a network of hospitals across the state. It's not just about New Haven, right? And so you see some pressure in Greenwich and Bridgeport, but not as much upstate. And so if we have major problems here, the Yale New Haven Hospital has the potential of transporting people to other hospitals. And then the other thing is, as you may have seen, Southern Connecticut State University is being used as a surge hospital site with step-down units, which are basically in between ICU and general medicine hospital units. So that's another backup plan. I mean, it's not just beds, though. It's the staffing that's a challenge and ventilators. And the governor's been clear that there's a feeling we don't have enough ventilators in the state yet.
When they released this chart and they showed the different counties and when the different counties are expected to peak. New Haven, it looked like May, June.
Early May.
And what is the expected number? And are you, if all goes as these projections, do you have enough stuff?
I don't think anyone's really ready for this thing. And, you know, everyone's scrambling to be prepared. I also think that there haven't been a lot of estimates about just how many people are going to get the virus. It's a little bit hard to tell because it's hard to know how much social distancing will help. But you think about, we're at the beginning of our spike right now, and we have 241 cases.
Right.
Two 2 days ago, we had around 180 or so. And so we're jumping pretty quickly. And the number of fatalities is going up pretty quickly. And so you think about it, if we're 3 weeks out from the maximum number of cases that we'll have as in our growth, that's pretty scary. I'm also concerned about our public safety because, you know, we have a lot of officers and firefighters that are out either because they've been exposed or 10 firefighters and police officers have tested positive. I'm concerned about making sure that our public safety folks are kept safe, kept on the job so that they can serve our residents too. And if too many of them come out like we're seeing in New York, it'll be more difficult for us to respond and help the residents.
All right. So everybody do the right thing.
Yep.
And if you have to go out, put on some kind of mask, even a scarf. I saw you put on a handkerchief.
See?
Over here.
I did. My wife folded it up and kind of doctored it up for me.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, but I think especially now, right, because you think even if you're just focused on yourself, you don't want to get sick now because you may find yourself in the hospital about 2 weeks, and that's the worst time to find yourself in the hospital because at that point, they're going to be really strained for resources, and they may not have enough resources. We've seen in New York that they actually, you know, they're at the point where they're choosing who lives and dies because they have to choose between limited resources.
Wow.
All right.
That's not good.
Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate it. Great job in New Haven. And please use us as a megaphone if you need us.
Always. Thanks for getting the word out. Take care.
Thank you.
Mayor Justin Elliker in New Haven. Let's go to Mark Hayward. He is the regional overseer right now of all of New England for the Small Business Association. And so if you own a small business and you have any questions, please call them in right now, 1-877-764-2535. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for making time for us. And you want to
good morning.
Give
morning.
Us a minute or two on an overview of how the program works.
So just one tiny, it's the United States Small Business Administration.
Yes.
We're a federal agency. An association would be
like a
lobby
deal.
Group.
Gotcha.
Correct. Yeah. Well, I can tell you that as of just now, because I went in and I just ran a report, 1,299 small businesses and not-for-profits in the state of Connecticut have requested assistance from the Paycheck Protection Program, equaling $643,078,090.06. So, and banks across the state of Connecticut continue to input the system because even as I'm in it, Chaz, I can see people inputting loans into the system. So, we're just a little over $500 million just in the state of Connecticut itself.
How long before those, have any of those loans been approved and how long before?
So they're approved. Disbursement, it is our hope that we will have some guidance to all of the lenders today on how they disperse and close those loans. I know that a lot of it's going to be done remotely. About 3.5 weeks ago, we provided the lenders with approval to go to electronic signatures or to accept faxes or a number of different things. So it's my hope that by the end of today, we'll have clear instructions on closing and disbursement.
Okay. And is there any misinformation or things you want to clean up now?
No, the only thing is, you know, that I've said in continuously is people to the small business community to understand the purpose for the loans once they're dispersed. And I had a discussion with a small business owner in Mystic just probably, well, Saturday afternoon. And the question was, well, you know, that's great. I'll put it in my account. And then when everything's up and running, I'll bring my employees back. And I said, that's not the purpose of this.
No.
The purpose of this is to bring your employees back. They're part of your family as a small business. Keep them on your payroll. Pay their pay their health care or whatever benefits you're paying them, and so that when you do become up and operational, there nothing has changed. I think from a small business perspective, it's difficult to understand, I'm going to pay people to stay home for a business that's not operating. And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges that I've found over the last few days.
Gotcha.
And I've read and reread and triple read the interim final rule, and it's very specific. In the calculations that people do to submit for the loan, you basically take whatever the salary was, you add in health care or whatever benefits you're providing the individuals, and then you make the calculation of what your overall payroll is. You take it, you divide it by 12, you multiply it by 2.5, and that should get you through with 2 months and an additional 0.5 to help you with paying any fixed costs.
Okay. I've been hearing reports now that with all of the money in the program, there's not enough money in the program. So it looks like they're going to take another swipe at it. Have you heard anything about that?
Do not. I'm too low on the totem pole to even hear that.
Well, gotcha. If somebody goes on the web today and applies, when do you think, if they're approved, they would get a check?
So remember, the Paycheck Protection Program is an application that is through your participating lender. So you got to go to your bank and get it that way. I spoke to lenders as early as 5 o'clock this morning. They are anxious to close and disperse. They're just waiting for final instructions on how to do that. And it's my hope that we're going to get there and that a tremendous amount of money will be going out into the streets. On the economic injury disaster loan program, which is on the other side of this, that's an SBA run program. We have been told that disbursements will begin this week.
Oh, great. Matt from Danbury is on the line. He wants to know why farmers are exempt from these loans.
That is a technical issue with USDA and SBA. I don't believe that they're excluded from the PPP loan. But I can check on that. But the economic injury disaster loans, there is a provision in the statute that does, because Department of Agriculture.
Oh, what just happened?
Oh, no.
Dang it.
Damn it.
I was trying to lock him in so right. I could take other calls in conference. And as I was cleaning the phone today, I pressed a bunch of buttons.
Right.
And now it's doing all kinds of stuff.
Oh.
So I don't think it liked being cleaned.
No,
today.
It doesn't. It likes being dirty. It's
a dirty thing.
Don't you touch me there.
Right.
Don't you ever touch me there. So we're going to get him back on. And then
still talking.
I'm not going to try to conference him in, so I'll read from the screen the questions that are coming in
right.
for Mark Hayward, Acting Regional Administrator of New England Small Business Administration.
It's probably used to this all the time.
Sorry about that, Mark. I was going to try to conference call you in. So the farmer thing is a technicality.
So, I gave a great answer, too. So basically, the USDA has their own disaster program, and that's where I think it's applicable to the economic injury disaster loan. But I believe that on the Paycheck Protection Program, they are eligible, and I will check and get back to your producer on that.
Tim in North Haven says he's been very frustrated by the process. The application keeps changing.
He must be talking about the economic injury disaster loan, because the Paycheck Protection Program application changed once, and that was just before we went live, because prior to that, there was a sample that was sent out even to the district offices, and it's extremely easy. The application for the economic injury disaster loan is new. It's up online. It's only 3 pages, and it's very easy. Everything has been streamlined.
Okay. And then as soon as you get these, so you go to the bank like you would for any loan. You tell them you want this particular loan. You fill out the paperwork. Should be easy. And then it's a very quick turnaround. Do you get the check like, let's just say you applied for whatever amount, let's say 50,000, and you get mm-hmm. that 50,000, do you get it all at once, or do you get it over the course of 2 months, 2.5 months?
No, and again, that's the reason why I said to you, the closing and disbursement rules are going to come out, I was told, more than likely today, and we are desperately anticipating that. But basically, you would apply at the bank. It's a transfer of funds into your account. If you haven't, and banks are doing mostly their own customers right now, based upon the calculation that you're providing to them. You're attesting as part of that calculation that everything that you've provided is true. And it's there. I have not seen very many adjustments in the calculations themselves. So I believe the disbursement is going to be immediately in full.
Let me check in with Greg.
And by the way, the paycheck program application is on the SBA website. So all you have to do is put PPP application in, it will come up. It's a two-page application. Yes, you have to provide some information on your payroll and other benefits that you're providing to the employees, but it's not that difficult.
So you could print it out and then fill it out.
Fax it, email it.
Oh, so you don't even have to go to your bank.
Nice.
No, because that's what I was saying at the very beginning. We've given the banks the authority to do either signatures that are not wet signatures or electronic signatures or what have you. And that we gave the banks that authority about 3.5 weeks ago.
Okay. Greg from Essex, what's your question?
Hey, Mark, I know you're working really hard on this. So we really appreciate it, and you were very helpful to me. Mark, the banks, community banks, do not have the note. So what guarantee do we have, and how are other banks, closing those loans without the full information? Is there something they know that we don't know? As a community bank, we've been behind the eight ball on Tuesday at 8:15, we finally got the final rules to be dispersed on the 3rd. We have customers lined up that yep. we're trying desperately to help, and would love to have you say that I could close the loan, disperse it with the proper documents, and that the guarantee will work for our banks.
I wish I could give you a definitive answer on that, Greg. I've asked the same questions myself and was told that that those will more than likely be out today. I don't know how other lenders are dispersing. I've heard anecdotal information as to how they went forward to do that, but whether or not that's correct, I don't want to get out too far over my skis and just tell you, we've been trying to send the information out as readily as possible. There is additional information that will be sent to all lenders, members of Congress, and their staffs, as well as chambers of commerce are trying to push it out that way as well. I don't have that answer, but I did talk to a lender this morning who actually said that they've closed a loan, and I said, how? And
well, you're saying that there's so much money that's already gone out, and
we feel as
community bankers that we're behind the eight ball on this.
Well, I haven't said that money is. I only know of one or two who've actually dispersed some loans. Not the numbers that I gave you earlier, the $12.99 and the almost $650 million, those are approvals. Those are not disbursements.
Yeah, it would have been fairer if they put it out and based on asset size so that every community bank would be able to allocate funds to a long laundry list of 180 or 200 people have already applied, and they're frightened that the money is going to be gone.
It won't be.
Before we get to it, and they are really nervous about that, so I'd like to get that out that it's not going to be gone.
It's not going to be gone.
Okay.
It's not going to be gone. I spoke over the weekend.
Disbursements. That's all.
Yeah, I spoke over the weekend to both Senator Blumenthal, Congressman Courtney, as well as to Senator Collins from Maine. There's a very strong commitment, and I think the president mentioned this in his press conference yesterday. We're just trying to get everything put through the system, and hopefully, Greg, by the end of the day, we'll have instructions on how to move forward and disperse.
Well, I appreciate it, that, but I'm afraid, as a president of a community bank, that we're under the gun to get this done, and information wasn't given to us as far as guidance. In fact, the note changed on April 2nd for our clients, so there's not a lot of time. So we're doing the best we can for multitudes of companies that are in desperate straits, and want to get that out to PLR.
I agree 100% with you, Greg. I just want to let you know that we got everything at the same time that you got it. So we haven't got any additional information I don't have any information that you don't have at the same time that you got it. So and we're doing the best we can to make sure that everybody understands what the rules are. They've been relaxed considerably in many venues, and as soon as I get the information, I promise you, we will push it out to the community banks. And I just want to say, just FYI, looking at, and I wasn't able to because I have to go by loan when I go into these screens, and I don't have the time to do 1,299 loans to see which bank has done what. But I will tell you that leading the way almost across the board from what I've seen, from Maine to Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, community banks and credit unions have led the way.
Well, I know we're entering data, but we don't have the note, and so we can't close. I mean, there are several banks, I guess, they had their own attorney draft a note, but I don't know if that provides a guarantee to the bank that they'll be reimbursed and paid back for appropriately, as the plan calls for. So
I will follow up later today.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
All right,
Greg. Appreciate it. I know you're under siege. So is everyone. So yeah, thank you, Greg, very much.
Thank you for calling in. Great info. Great questions. Greg with Essex Bank. Mark, yeah, I'm thinking you're getting a lot of phone calls like that one, right?
Yeah, I'll be very candid with you. They're calling my personal phone, my government cell phone, and yesterday they were calling my house phone.
Wow. One guy yelled in the street, "Hey, Mark!"
Wow,
It's been I can't keep up. I think I logged somewhere between about 320 phone calls between Friday and Sunday night when I turned the computer off at 7 o'clock. Thousands of emails, and we're doing our best to triage it and get the answers that everybody needs. If I have the answer, I send it out.
Well, I would think of all the government agencies under siege right now, and there's just about all of them.
Right.
I would think there's FEMA, CDC, but then the SBA.
Yep.
You know?
Big time.
So did that, talking to Greg from Essex Bank, did that help you at all to think about what needs to be done or what you need to ask for?
Yeah, and actually, I asked that question on a conference call at 3 on my call that we have every night at 8. I asked the same question again, and that's when I learned that some banks had dispersed based on other documentation, which was, you know, I said, can we do this? And they said, we'll get back to you tomorrow morning. So I'm just waiting to hear. I think, Greg is... whatever they put in the system is already locked down. So, and the agency still has a long way to go on the dollar side. But I would prefer that, you know, they wait 24 hours and get the right documents to close and the right note, because it's better for them and it's certainly better for us. The last thing we want to do is put lenders in the position where they're not doing things the way we've instructed them to do. We're working very close with Department of Treasury, with Secretary Mnuchin and his people. So there's a lot of coordination going back and forth. It's just, remember, the program was put together in 5 days.
Right.
Wow.
And it's a big one.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
That's a biggie.
$350 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, I'll take it.
And more coming, it sounds like. Well, Mark, you're doing a great job in a very difficult situation.
Stay sane.
I appreciate you. This helps a lot. When you come on, you talk to, you know, so many people all at once, it helps clear things up. We'd love to get you on at the end of the week to see if we could clear up some more questions.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We announced this earlier, and it's so awesome. It's called Cards for Caregivers. And if you go to WPLR.com or 95.9thefox.com, you could donate whatever amount of money you'd like.
Yeah.
That is good. But we will then buy a gift card for a local restaurant and get them out to caregivers, the folks on the first line, front lines, the doctors, the nurses, the home aides.
Yep.
And it's a great way to help one industry thank another very important industry for all of their help.
Yep.
So, and we'll be doing it now until Friday at 5, and then we go on buy the cards, then we get the cards. Every penny of your donation goes to the card. There's no service fee, no nothing.
Nope.
Okay? WPLR.com or 95.9thefox.com. And I know who I'd like to give my card to. Lisa Mecca, Director of Respiratory Services at Griffin Health. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good. Thank you for all that you're doing for us.
No, thank you so much for having me on.
Our pleasure. Describe a typical day of a respiratory therapist. Before coronavirus.
You know, it can vary. We can be seen in not only just the hospital, but doctor's offices, asthma clinics. You know, it's so varied. But as far as the hospital work is concerned, you know, we are highly involved in critical care, managing the vents, checking blood work, doing different testing, constantly on the move. There's never a dull moment.
That's a typical day. That's before all of this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now, when you say managing the vents, is that intubating? Excavating.
So we do participate in the intubation process. Some of our therapists here are actually trained to intubate. I know other facilities, the respiratory therapists are the front line for intubation, actually doing the procedure. You know, we're a teaching hospital here, so we do have residents and other providers that are able to do that, but we are right there at the head of the bed. You know, in the TV shows, when a patient's crashing and they start bagging, that's the respiratory therapist right there at the head of the bed.
So you guys are on the TV shows.
See that?
Yes.
You just never recognize.
Not the full credits,
that.
Though. Yeah, exactly. Right.
And, you know, one of the funny things in the business is, you know, we always kid around that whenever things start going south, they just say, call respiratory. None of us actually have a name.
Right.
It's just respiratory.
Right.
But, you know, when they're yelling it out, something's going on and we need to be there quickly.
What's a day like now?
You know, there's a heightened sense of concern, you know. A lot of my staff have family and elderly parents, so it's this fine line between being passionate about what you do for a living, but then also being so hypersensitive to making sure that you're keeping your own family safe.
Right.
So if you can imagine, there's a heightened sense of emotion. So it's, you know, for me, I'm the director, so I just make sure that my staff has the support and the supplies that they need to do the best that they can.
How has that been, getting the supplies to them?
You know, we have been dealing with similar struggles as many of the other facilities, but we've put a really comprehensive plan in place. We haven't quite seen the surge yet, but, you know, I'm 100% sure that we're prepared when we do start feeling that.
When are you expecting to feel that surge?
I mean, it's hard to say. I know some of the information out there says within the next couple weeks. You know, it's really hard to say. You know, I'm not sure.
Right. There's no telling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're in a lot of danger, or your respiratory therapists are in a lot of danger when they're intubating a person,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those plastic boxes that Kevin McDermott, a friend of ours, his wife's a respiratory therapist or something like that. And she looked up this box that someone in Taiwan was making she found a manufacturer, Kevin's uncle, here. He made it, and then now they're producing them at Modern Plastic. It's a real great community story. Now he's distributing them to local hospitals. I don't know if you'd want to look it up and be interested in getting any.
It's funny you mentioned it, because our engineering department here saw that very same thing, and they're in the process right now of having some made for us right here in-house.
Okay, fantastic. So I can actually put you in touch with someone who might be able to get you some today.
That would be amazing. Oh, my gosh. That would be amazing, because we're really prototyping right now, so we don't have any that are able to be deployed.
Okay. Yeah, they're making them now at Modern Plastics in Shelton.
Yep.
That would be wonderful.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold, grab your number, and thank you just seems like not even close to being enough.
We know the guy.
No, but thank you. That's amazing. They're going to be really, really excited.
Oh, and you know what? Kevin says that's been the reaction everywhere. Every hospital he brings these to, they're just so excited to have them. So hold on one second.
Thank you so much.
Lisa Mecca, Director of Respiratory Services at Griffin Health. Frontline worker right there.
See that?
It's time for Dumbass News.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com.
I'm sorry, that was sing along. How you doing? Good?
Bum, 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 bum.
Who you calling bum?
Yeah! Dang, 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 bum, 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 bum. Guy runs with American flag for healthcare workers. Why would we put him in Dumbass News?
Why?
Same thing.
Let's ask AJ.
Okay. You see these people all the time, and they say they're doing it for someone. But honestly, aren't they kind of doing it for themselves?
I have to agree with you on this one.
Because of the fact, first of all, this guy only ran like 7 miles. Okay? You're not running across the United States with a flag. And
this is not a Forrest Gump run.
You ran 7 freaking miles. You got the American flag with you, which is wonderful, admirable. But let's be honest, you're doing this for you. Because who are the news organization going to talk to? You. Who are they going to show on camera? You. Who is the story about? You.
Right.
You make it about you. Now, I do
agree with this.
If you ran across the United States raising money for healthcare workers and you weren't like, you know, like going, look at me, publicity, look at me, right?
Yeah.
I'd be behind you, but you're doing this
right.
for
Explain
you.
Explain to me how you running with an American flag is
gonna
going
help
to help them.
The healthcare workers.
A boost
exactly.
of morale.
No. Anyway, so.
No. Like, the good stories are speed of sound,
yes.
shutting down production,
exactly.
making masks, 600 a day.
Right.
They're going out for free.
Right. What Kevin's doing with those boxes.
That's when you're helping.
That's when you're helping. Right.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Stefanowski getting those masks and everything.
Right.
That's helping.
That's helping.
And we had to beg him to talk.
Right. No, he didn't want
to
come on.
We had to beg him to talk.
He said, I know how it's going to look. I don't want it to look like, that's not why we're doing this.
Right.
And,
but
yeah.
this guy, I have a flag. I'm going to run 7 miles for the healthcare workers. Look at me. No, I'm yeah. sorry. That's why you're in Dumbass News.
Do we have a clip of him talking?
Yeah, there's this one.
Okay.
I think this will really inspire the doctors and the nurses and the first responders to keep
Please.
On going and stay strong.
Hold on.
This is going to inspire them? What, a guy running with a flag?
Okay, now this is Dumbass News.
Right.
Okay, so hold on. He says this is going to inspire them to keep working, right?
Right, right.
So
you're
now,
running.
Let's play this one out. All right,
okay.
So this is what he's picturing.
Okay.
All right, now
okay.
we're all, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Why is this not playing?
Holding.
I'm still holding.
Yeah. So, please hold.
Okay. Oh, man, I've been working 60-hour shift here.
Oh, me too. Oh, God.
I
barely stand anymore.
I have never seen so much death and tragedy in my life.
I can barely stand.
I'm worried about not me, but bringing this home to my family.
No, me too, yeah.
And I don't know how much longer I can go working without a mask.
Oh, my God.
Or gloves.
Right.
Or gowns.
Right.
Or all the things
all
that
the,
we had. I don't want to complain.
Our supplies
I know people are dying here, and this is... I have to be here helping, but...
The big stack we had is all gone now. We have, like,
I just
three
worry that
left.
People aren't taking this seriously enough.
Yeah. Oh, wait, what's this? Some guy running with a flag.
Ah, you know what? If he could run with that flag,
damn it, then we
can keep
this.
Coming back in.
Exactly, I'm inspired. More like, wow. I'd be like, run to traffic. We'll see you in the ER.
Right, it's the guy who...
Look at me!
Right, his
look
cardio is so good. His cardiovascular system is so good. He's not... He'll like, if he gets it, he'll be like, achoo.
Exactly.
Over.
Right. Oh, wait, my nose ran for a second. We're done.
I don't hate this.
What?
I'm just saying... I don't know. I don't hate it. It's like he could, like, it's not bad, right? It's not necessarily things that other people are doing to
it's
make
self-centered.
Masks. But it, well.
It is.
Everybody loves the American flag, you know? I don't know. I don't hate it.
Put it in your yard.
Okay.
And then go help somebody.
He's not raising money.
You're not helping anyone running.
He's not raising money. He's not, like, getting them, like, stuff they need. He's running with a flag
right.
for 7 miles.
But wait, do you think the media saw him running the 7 miles and said, hey, wait, hold on, kid, we got to talk to you.
We must catch up with you.
Or do you think?
He let them know.
That.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Ashley run 0.7 miles.
Not going to happen. I can't do it.
With an American flag.
She ran to the kitchen for a meatball.
But wait. So she'll run for food.
Yes, true. I need one of those backpacks with the fishing pole over my head, like dangling food in front of my face.
There you go.
Have you ever seen those?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the cartoons.
How does the thought process begin? So you're sitting watching television. And you're watching, you have to have seen New York City.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, man, these poor healthcare workers. And there's refrigerator trucks and tent morgues and setting up on the Central Park. And you're like, I know it'll inspire these people.
Right. I know.
Me running.
For 7 miles with a flag.
Okay, wait, I'll tell the media. Wait, no, wait. It's not just the guy running for 7 miles doesn't say, oh, I'll grab the American flag.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him run past the hospital during like a shift change and they'd all be like, stay inside, moron!
Right.
Yeah, there's that.
They're
yeah.
all flicking their
put
clothes
the mag over your, put the flag over your face.
They're like flicking their clothes out.
There's definitely that.
Like rubber bands. Stop. Yeah, this guy's going to run anyway.
Right.
And 7 miles, really, if you're running?
7 miles. I could go run 7 miles right now. This isn't an accomplishment.
I can't.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I can't, but I know for a fact, if you're a runner, you can do 7 miles.
The press should ask him, well, what's the longest you've ever run?
Right.
You know, 26 miles.
Just like run to the store for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, listen, if you tell me this guy's a coronavirus patient.
I'd be impressed.
And he was on a respirator. Right?
Yeah.
And fought it off and won and now wants to thank them and encourage them that their work is doing good
see?
By showing that I can now run 7 miles.
Look, yeah, see? I couldn't
while
before.
Holding an American flag.
Right.
Made in China.
Right.
Yeah, that might be inspiring.
I'd be all over it. Yeah, exactly. But no, you're going to run anyway. You just hung a flag.
You're going to run anyway.
Yeah. Look at me! Bah, bah.
And now he's got to go to the hospital.
Right.
And what if you trip on the flag
and now you need stitches?
Right.
Oh, that would be the best.
I
not the best,
out
but
some teeth.
He's running help? With the flag and he trips with the flag, cuts himself open, has to go to the emergency room, then gets coronavirus.
Right. That inspires him to work on him, though.
His heart's in the right place.
Yes.
His brain, he left at home.
Yeah.
Right.
So AJ pitched this story to me this morning before the show, and he says, hey, there's this guy running with an American. He goes, no, the first thing he says, he goes, we could use this story for dumbass news, I think. A guy running with an American flag for healthcare workers. I'm like, what?
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 I sold it, though, didn't I?
I'm like, what?
I sold it,
what?
Though, didn't
there's
I?
No
yeah, but
way.
You also hate the kids that save their, you know, money and donate that.
Separate issue.
Relax.
Yeah, this is... I agree with AJ on this.
This
one.
Is this, about
this
him.
Is a guy who turned this. His brain is wired. How can I make this about myself?
Exactly, and that's why right. I pitched it.
How
way.
Can I get some attention?
I said this is more about him.
Right. I'll
not
say it's
them.
About someone else, but it's about
right.
All right, what's the rest of the clip?
Yeah, we only played 12 seconds.
Inspire the doctors and the nurses and the first responders to keep on going and stay strong. I've been running with the American flag for about 10 years now. I've done hundreds of runs with everything going on, and I'm watching people being so stressed out and in despair. And I know how much the American flag brings smiles to people's faces and makes them feel better. Amazing watching these people be so inspired and uplifted. One of the coolest things. This makes me happy, making them happy.
This is about you, pal.
No, that none of that, none of that, none of that.
Yep.
First of all, he's been running for 10 years with this thing. This is nothing.
He didn't even change his behavior.
He didn't even not say, new. Oh, I'm going to do, the, oh, I know.
Right.
Again, I think his heart is in the right place. I think he does genuinely care about the health workers.
Nope.
This is not the way to do that.
If you put this whole thing into a pot and boiled it down, the last thing left is his ego.
Me!
Yep.
Yep. That's why I pitched it.
That's what you get for doing something good around here.
Yep.
Remember life the way it was?
Yes.
Jersey Mike's would bring us sandwiches.
Oh. The sandwiches were fantastic. Even the sandwich.
Oh, my God, it was sick.
Even the breadless sandwich was fantastic. They brought me that because I was doing Lent last time.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Mitchell Thompson from Jersey Mike's, franchise owner of 7 of the 18 Connecticut locations on the show. Hey.
Hey, good morning, Chaz and AJ.
Morning.
Good talking with you guys again.
Nice. Good talking with you.
Yep.
How's it going?
Everything's going as well as it can be right now, but been really excited and fortunate to be able to provide, you know, a safe serve product. We're doing lots of donations, you know, doing about 100 subs per shop every week to all of our local hospitals, doctor's offices, firefighters, police departments. So really been taking this time and taking an active role in supporting our front line throughout this crisis.
And you guys, so you're still open. We can go there and we can get sandwiches.
Yeah, we're open. We're really trying to focus on curbside currently. So right. You know, Jersey Mike's is a great online platform. We're offering free delivery through our online platform, also through Grubhub, DoorDash,
right.
Uber Eats. So really trying to, you know, limit the you know, customer point of sales transactions here to doing everything online, serving it really safe. Still the same great product, just delivered to you without any contact.
That sounds good.
What do you think you'd have, AJ? Would you order a cold sub or a hot sub?
I love cold subs. I'm sorry. I'm a cold sub fan. Yeah.
I think I'm going to look at the hot
sub. I'm big
subs.
On like Italian combos type of stuff.
I think the
that's a sandwich
Mike's
to me.
Famous Philly I'd go with.
You know,
number 44 is my favorite. Buffalo chicken cheesesteak.
I have still not had a Philly cheesesteak sandwich yet.
Nothing like a quarantine to give it a go.
There you go.
Seriously.
Jump on in, buddy. Great, man.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, we got a lot of great options on our menu, and like I said, we're really taking, you know, all the you know, information coming out from our state legislation to make sure we're delivering the same product. We're doing it fresh, same great ingredients every day, and just really making sure we're here and we're open for you guys to grab some food and go, bring it back to your safety of your houses. And, you know, we bring some subs in when we meet with you guys when we're talking about all these things. So sorry we couldn't get you any sandwiches, but hopefully we'll still be able to get you guys some, drop some off to the station here. I know a lot of you guys are working from home, but, you know, like I said, you can do free delivery to support us in this time as well.
I want the stickball special. That's what I want right there.
What is that?
Is a great one.
That's got provolone, ham and salami, and it's got lettuce and tomatoes and whatnot. It's almost like a Italian combo.
Oh, I love that.
That is a great one.
See, the stickball, that's me.
Is there a special sauce to put on that?
Oil and vinegar.
You know, we got our juice, the oil and vinegar. It's the traditional deli style sandwich that we've been serving for you know, since 1956 here. So we do the same fresh product, same fresh sliced meats and cheeses piled high. Just currently right now we're asking everybody to, you know, order ahead, you know, order online, phone ahead, pay over the phone, stay safe out there. You know, the more food you order, the more food we're donating. So we've always been a conscious company.
All right,
you know,
tell me about that.
Ever.
How does that work? The more we order, the more you donate. How does that work?
A lot of our shops, every catering box, you know, going out, and a lot of the Jersey Mike's now, they're actually donating a catering box in that customer's name. You know, us specifically, you know, we're staying staffed. We kept all of our full-time employees on. You know, like I mentioned previous in this, you know, interview, is that, you know, we're committed to doing 100 giant subs. So we're feeding about 200, you know, frontline personnel every single week out of every one of our shops. So we're doing 700 giant subs, so 1,400 frontline employees every week, you know, as long as this goes on. So we're committed to really, you know, giving back to our communities. We always have been. It's something, you know, last month we were talking about the month of giving. Unfortunately, it was cut a little bit short. We're still able to raise in our organization $20,000 to Make-A-Wish. But right now our focus has changed. You know, before it was Make-A-Wish. You know, right now it's all of our doctors, all of our nurses, everybody that's really helping us get back on our feet so we can, you know, see a light at the end of the tunnel. So we're really, you know, focused on getting food to them so that they can stay in the hospitals and they can really, you know, battle this disease for us. And so it's something that we're really focused on right now is, you know, yes, we're serving our customers and, you know, you guys are providing us with sales dollars to be able to keep donating to our frontline people. So, you know, we're just really asking you to be safe, order online, call ahead. You know, we can take your payment over line. You know, really,
and then what?
All
so
our stores.
Let's just say we're going to pick up, right? So we go out to the so we order online,
right?
And then we arrive at the parking lot. Do you guys bring it out, or do we go in, or how does that work?
Yeah, some of our stores are curbside, some are carryout. So, you know, we have tables set up, racks set up. We also have, you know, extra staff on right now to monitor the door. You know, you're pulling up, and they're saying, "Hey, I'm John," and we're saying, "Oh, hey, John, thanks for the order. We're going to put your food here on this sanitized table." You know, then John gets out of his car, he picks it up, and he leaves, and we sanitize the table again. So we're really taking the time to, you know, do one order, one pickup, sanitize that table so the next customer can come and really feel safe about, you know, how he's going to grab his food and bring it back
to
his house, to his family.
I got
to
tell you,
really, really taking the extra steps.
I was driving Saturday, Jennifer and I, and we went by one of my favorite restaurants in Watertown, and I saw people standing out in the parking lot. And it looked like a zombie movie. They're all like 7 to 10 feet apart.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, how long do you have to wait? And then how does that work? Like, hey, I was here before you. Or,
right.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to. Just I'll pull up
number,
and then,
right?
Like, put it in my trunk or, you know, make it simple like these guys.
Exactly, right.
Right. You pull up, you say, I'm John. Okay, John, here comes your order. You know?
We're working real efficiently now. I mean, all these online orders have timestamps on them. So they're being made to, you know, with a digital timestamp. And then, you know, even when you're calling ahead, we're saying, hey, we'll be ready for you at 12:45, at 12:50.
Oh, wow.
And really kind of keeping everything in order. So, you know, if your order's ready at 12:30, you know, we're going to be out front. Hey, John, it's 12:30. Here you go. You know, hey, Melissa, it's 12:45. Here you go. So we're really,
what about Chaz?
You know, keeping everything organized. And, you know, Chaz and AJ, we fast-track you guys. We make sure we take care of this.
See, I don't want to be fast-tracked because I might be getting ahead of someone who really matters. And I like that.
You guys are really supporters of our business and our brand, and we really appreciate everything you guys do for us, you know, and getting the word out there that we're, you know, we're still open for business. We're supporting our front line. We're supporting all these local charities throughout the course of the year.
And, that's great,
you know,
stuff.
We really take a lot of pride in you guys and how dedicated you are to getting the word out there about all the good things we do as a brand every day. And right now specifically for our front line. But, you know, every day we're here supporting our communities and you know, thanks for giving us this opportunity to tell our community how we're supporting
you. You're always
them.
Welcome here. You're family.
Exactly.
Now,
right.
I like that you could order a box of subs, a bag of subs. You could order in mass quantities
for
your office or send them off to your local fire
or
department. Uber Eats will do all that. So let me run through some of these. Tell me which one of these you own, okay? Milford.
It's mine. You got it.
Yay!
Derby.
It's one of our locations as well.
Fairfield.
Yeah, that's one of our strong locations as well. Really proud of that store.
Brantford
is actually one of the oldest stores, if not the oldest store in Connecticut. Mark Ferns does a great job, real big vet supporter, and he's definitely been supporting his hospitals. Great location to get some food.
Westport.
Westport's one of mine as well. Really proud of that location as well.
Wilton.
Yeah, another one of my organizations as well. We're doing a good job down there.
I'm proud of you, man. Norwalk.
Wow.
Yeah, Norwalk. We pretty much take up that southern belt. So
Guilford?
Norwalk, Willow, Westport, Fairfield, Derby. Guilford's also with Brantford, another strong veteran supporter. We're going to be working with him Veterans Day. I believe we're doing 50% of all sales to veterans on Veterans Day this year. So some we're real excited about coming down the pipeline.
There's like a million here. I can't mention them all. Meriden?
Meriden, yeah. It's part of the Mohegan Group stores. You know, there's 18 in Connecticut right now, and every one of them is supporting all of our local first responders, and real excited to be a part of this great company right now. It's times like this that, you know, businesses really show their true colors. Our CEO gave $1,000 to every single franchise group across the country, $2 million to give food to our local charities. I mean, a lot of us are going above and beyond that. But just, you know, starting from the fabric of our company, our CEO, you know, really committed to everybody. Hey, here's $2 million when there's no money coming in, because this is when we support our community the most. So, you know, really, really shows, you know, that's our core, is giving to give, and the sales will come. So, you know, right now, you know, like I said, my community, my fabric, our seven stores are doing 100 giant subs, you know, feeding 200 first responders every week for as long as it takes.
That's
so
awesome.
We're dedicated.
I have one more quick question for you, then I know I got to let you go. Desserts.
You know, desserts, we're keeping it pretty simple. We got fresh baked cookies every day.
Good.
You know, fresh brownies every single day.
Good.
You got your chips, your
nice.
Sodas. So, a little, I know everybody's at home eating a little bit extra. So,
brownies,
feel free
good.
To order some desserts and splurge a little bit.
Brownie's good. You need something to finish off the sub.
Yeah, see, I'm just a sandwich of soda and chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we really want to thank you guys. I know my come-on music was Metallica, Enter Sandman, so you guys got me a little excited.
Enter Sandwich.
Enter Sandwich. You guys really know how to fire up your guests before they come on your show. So I appreciate the little Enter Sandman, you know, really... Really, it's a timeless rock song right there. So I got excited for this interview. So I'm speaking a little faster, a little louder.
I
blame
that.
You guys for the motivational soundtrack of my life. You know,
thank you, brother, for coming out. Thanks for what you're doing for the first responders and the front lines in Connecticut. And now I'm in the mood for a Jersey Mike sandwich.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And we're linked up at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. Mitchell Thompson, Jersey Mike's franchise owner.
Everyone, order online, and we appreciate you. Thanks again for having me.